Welcome to the Quest Podcast, proudly presented by the Muscular Dystrophy Association as part of the Quest family of content. I'm your host, Mindy Henderson. Together, we are here to bring thoughtful conversation to the neuromuscular disease community and beyond about issues affecting those with neuromuscular disease and other disabilities and those who love them. We are here for you to educate and inform, to demystify, to inspire, and to entertain. We are here shining a light on all that makes you, you. Whether you are one of us, love someone who is, or are on another journey altogether, thanks for joining. Now let's get started. Today's guest is Lorraine Woodward. Lorraine has lived a busy life full of accomplishments, so this might take a second. Lorraine is an entrepreneur and business owner born in Conway, Arkansas. She served on the staff of U.S. Congressman Ed Bethune in Washington, D.C. after college and has been recognized for her work in marketing and communications for local television, nonprofit hospitals, for-profit healthcare systems, and national nonprofits like Easter Seals, North Carolina. Lorraine is a lifelong advocate for people with disabilities. She created the National Barrier Awareness Foundation and, this is so cool, reached out to Snoopy creator Charles Schultz, who designed the logo for the Barrier Awareness Foundation. In response to the invisibility of people with disabilities in print media and on websites, Lorraine founded Realistic Reflections, which portrays people with disabilities doing a wide range of everyday activities. Then Lorraine founded Lorraine's Canes, providing custom artistic walking canes for children and adults, and a company that sells custom wheelchair covers for the upper back of wheelchairs that showcase the user's personality. She also created a handicap accessible vacation rental at Carolina Beach, North Carolina. Her newest endeavor, Becoming Accessible, creates accessible rental properties at vacation destinations and near colleges and universities. Lorraine is married with two grown sons and shares every chair and lap in the house with two spoiled Maine Coon cats. You sound like a woman after my own heart. That is a lot of stuff you've done, Lorraine. Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, I am thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. So you've done clearly a lot of wonderful things for the community of individuals with disabilities. But today we're focusing on travel.
Yes.
So I'd like to start just real quickly with giving the listeners a little more information about you. You're a member of the neuromuscular disease community and live with a neuromuscular disease. Would you mind sharing your exact diagnosis and how it affects you on a daily basis?
Sure. I was diagnosed at two with what they knew at the time of limb girdle. Actually, they knew muscular dystrophy. And so I'm 60. So 58 years ago, they said, I have muscular dystrophy. It was about six that they diagnosed me with limb girdle muscular dystrophy. They really didn't know that much about limb girdle. So I spent a lot of times in, you know, going to different medical facilities for treatments and testing to figure it out. So, you know, having MD has really just been a way of life for me. You know, today I use a wheelchair, an electric wheelchair. I always tell everybody I'm a woman, I'm high maintenance. What can I say? I use a lot of medical equipment to help me be independent. I'm profusely independent. I have a hospital bed that lifts me up so I can stand up and transfer to my electric wheelchair, which stands me up. Then I can go to a toilet that stands me up.
Wow.
And so, I know, it's really cool. I love technology today.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm raising, you know, two young men that have limb girdle muscular dystrophy. So MD is definitely been a part of my whole life. I mean, I look back at all of the things, you know, that I highlight and I'm proud of, and I think it's been a member of the MDA family that has really kept me going and optimistic and encouraging. And my commitment to disability awareness and change.
That's so nice. And I have to agree with you. I think there is nothing like the MDA family and our community. And it's just, it's a really special community of individuals. So let's pivot into talking about travel, which I love to do, but it can be a challenge, right? I'm also a member of the neuromuscular disease community. I have spinal muscular atrophy. So I suspect that you and I have probably shared some of the same challenges. Would you begin by sharing some of your own travel experiences and what really prompted you to get into the business of accessible rentals?
Sure. In my younger years, I traveled a lot and I enjoyed the travel. It was great. It wasn't until my 20s that I really needed a little more help than I needed earlier. And as I got older, I needed a lot more help. So the travel became a little more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, you know, two boys with muscular dystrophy. And when we travel, there'd be three of us in scooters. So like going to Disney World, I mean, not only are you packing four people, three scooters and your luggage, you know, it was quite an ordeal. But then also it was really hard on my husband. Because there are three of us. I'm in the bathroom going, Robert, can you lift me off the toilet? And the boys are like, Dad, I need help off the bed. Or can you pick this up?
Aww.
And then, you know, the other thing that was really interesting, having three scooters, the buses that would take you to like a Disney World would only take two chairs. So we always had to use two buses.
Oh, my gosh.
Three of us. So, again, that was another kind of like, So traveling, we never could travel if we took public transportation as a family, because commonly it was two. So it just became really hard. And so the boys, I didn't want them to grow up not having an opportunity to experience vacation. So we built this property 3 hours from our home in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I built it with the idea of our family needs. You know, I thought about myself, about what all I needed. So we had a room with a hospital bed. We had a roll-in shower. We had a roll-under sink. We had a kitchen with an elevated dishwasher. Those things that would allow us to stay independent. Well, to my surprise, over the last 7 years, we've had folks from all over the United States and Canada who come to this property. And I'm always amazed when I ask people, why did you travel 2.5 days of driving? And they were like, because there's nothing else. And it's like, oh, no, there's got to be. And there wasn't that much. And that's when we decided to create Becoming Rentable.
Interesting. So you originally built this house for yourselves and then eventually started making it available to others.
Exactly. The idea was a family property, but I knew I needed to pay for it.
Right.
So I designed the second floor as a rental.
Uh-huh.
What I didn't know is how few there were that were really, truly accessible. If you go online, you may go to a booking site, which is an Airbnb, a VRBO, a Vacasa, and you key in wheelchair accessible, and it populates 100, you know, properties. But people have self-validated like, oh, yeah, this is accessible. We have handrails in the bathtub. Well, mm-hmm. I can't get into a bathtub. My boys can't get into a bathtub. That's not accessible to me.
Right.
So I was really surprised by the lack of truly accessible properties.
It's true. So you mentioned the second floor and you mentioned an elevator a little while ago. Is there an elevator in the house?
We do. We have an elevator. It's a 3-story house. The third floor is what I call the private residence.
Oh, nice.
That's for our family. And then the second floor is our rental. And the first floor is the coolest. It's like an art studio. And that we all can play and do art and have fun. And we have a beach wheelchair that is in on the first floor. So my renters can get on the beach, get in the water, and enjoy it through the beach wheelchair. And, you know, we have the zero threshold entry. Basically, that means it's flat. So you can come in the front door and there are 36-inch wide doors. So all those things that I need that I think other people could also benefit from our property.
That's really amazing. And, you know, honestly, I'm thinking about hotels as well, which is a slightly different animal. But, you know, even hotels these days are challenging. I had to go to Houston last week for a work trip and had a hard time finding a hotel where I could scoot my patient lift, my Hoyer lift, under the bed, because all of the beds nowadays have those box frames and underneath. So yeah, all kinds of challenges. So tell us more about Becoming Accessible and how it's different than from other rental property websites out there.
Okay. Becoming Rentable is, so we're a listing platform. So if you are looking for a place to stay in the short-term rental industry, you could come to our site, and we have over 700 accessible properties listed on our site, which I'm so proud of.
Wow.
It's taken a long time for us to get there, but we research, we look, and we validate what exactly, you know, is in that property, and we post it. We, if people have a property that they are renting, they can go on our site and list their property, and we will go in and we'll look at it. We do a three-person evaluation. So one of our, we are a team of volunteers. There's 14 of us. And so one person will do research and say, oh, look, I found this property that looks great. The other person will go, yep, and they put in the data. And a third person does a double check to make sure that everything that has been listed is actually accessible. We've started a certification program where people can come in and actually certify that their property is what it says it is through our certification. And then those properties are elevated to the top of searches, kind of like in Google. You know, you'll Google something and a lot of times you'll see ads or you'll see things that are populated to the top. That's what our certification does for short-term rental properties. So we do a lot of education and awareness because, again, if you don't have a disability or a friend or family that has a disability, you may not understand what it means to be accessible.
Right.
The other component that we're different than anybody else globally is we are changing and redefining what it means to be accessible beyond a wheelchair. So we are looking at walker, autism, intellectual disabilities, vision and hearing, because we all want to live that best life and be able to travel. My goal is to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico. I have never been, and I want to go to Santa Fe.
Oh, wow.
So that's where I want to go one day.
Mm-hmm.
My son wants to go to Colorado. I'm like, okay. And so, you know, each of us, Alexander's pretty happy about staying at home. and that's great. So we really are trying to change the way the short-term rental industry really looks at and defines what is accessible. And not only from a mobility standpoint, but others as well.
You're right, because it's accessible. And for that matter, the ADA, honestly, those terms and those laws and regulations are fairly subjective, you know, and there's so much, you know, even within the world of people who use wheelchairs, there's so much variation to what an individual actually needs. So I love that you're being so diligent and digging in and giving people what they actually need. You know, it's fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. And, you know, we are trying, and you're right about the ADA. We always said, everybody's like, well, we're not ADA compliant. And I said, well, you know what? Nor are we. We look beyond ADA.
There you
ADA
go.
Is 30 years old. You know, yeah. Our wheelchairs are bigger. You know, I can I go through a 32-inch door? Yes, I can. But you know what? You're going to know at the end of the day that I went, because I'm going to leave you skid marks
right
on either side of that door.
And yes.
I need a 36-inch door. A pediatric chair can go through 32-inch mm-hmm. doors. You know, the other thing that's interesting that I'm really excited about what we're doing is we get the question a lot. What does it mean to have a wheelchair accessible rental?
Yeah.
What does it mean to have an autism accessible rental? And what we've found out through research is that there's not a checklist. You know, we have 36 filters on our website that help folks find a rental that meets their needs. And that's really the key. It's not this checklist to determine if it's accessible. It's the renter who determines if it's accessible based on their needs. For me, I need a hard surface driveway. I don't do well on gravel. I need a way to get into the front door, either no steps or a ramp. I need a 36-inch wide door. I need a roll-in shower with grab rails. That's really important for me. I need actually an electric commode, unless my husband's going to lift me up. And I need a lower profile bed to transfer versus high, where that's what I need. And that's what accessibility means to me. For somebody, let's say, that's paraplegic and uses and is small frame and uses a manual chair, they could maybe go through a 32-inch door. They may need that shower bench to transfer to take a shower. They may need those 36-inch doors. They may want a roll under bathroom sink. That's what is accessible to them.
Right.
And so that has been a great learning experience to know and understand that what is accessible to one person may not be accessible to another.
It's so true. Are you seeing at all the other listing websites that may be similar to yours that are out there? Do you see other companies getting on board with this and making changes to add some more kind of diligence around options and specifications?
Yes and no. You know, and we're trying. You know, we're reaching out to VRBO and Vacasa and Airbnb. We recently just signed a new contract with a company called Find Rentals. They have 20,000 properties, and we are going to be teaming up with them over the next month to offer our certification program. And on their website, they will be including a accessible filter on their site. So if you click that accessible filter, anything that has been certified will pop up to the top on their list. And so we are really happy about that. I'd love to see these larger booking platforms add more filter searches. Right now, VRBO says wheelchair access and elevator. Vacasa says wheelchair access. And Airbnb has a few more filters, but it doesn't allow the prospective renter to really determine their full needs by using their filters. Mm. And so that's a big distinction between what we're doing and they're doing. Our ultimate goal, honestly, is to get out of business in less than 10 years.
Ah.
You know, this is a way of life. You know, right now it's a change. You know, nobody's doing what we're doing. It hasn't been thought of accessible travel beyond a mobility. And so we hope that we will see that change and that we can educate folks. And the other thing is that, you know, we see properties a lot that, particularly in bathrooms, that people design or have a property. They don't think of it as accessible because it's not a way of life. They want that HGTV spa bathroom. You know, they're in an environment in Dallas that's flat, so there is no stairs. And so we want to go in and go, hey, guess what? You've got another audience that you can reach and benefit from that can enjoy your property. If you were to include this language in your description, these photographs, I mean, another big issue are photographs. When you go and look at properties, a lot of times photographs are taken from the waist up. As you and I both know, in a wheelchair, you know, the waist up is good, but honestly, I want to see what's on the floor.
Right.
You know, what is that threshold at the door? What is that threshold going onto the deck? What is the threshold in the shower? I need to see what's on the floor.
Right.
People don't think about that. They think about the pretty flowers that they have in their yard and the pretty dishes and look at our shower head. And so we want to, you know, revisit that element of marketing short-term rental properties.
That makes so much sense. And honestly, that particular thing isn't even something that I had thought of. So I love that you guys are really innovating and thinking about all of these things. And you mentioned how, you know, if property owners will create spaces like this, the additional market that becomes available to them in terms of renters. But honestly, if you think about it, you know, with our aging population, so many of the accommodations and things that we're talking about are going to open up a whole new world of accessibility to our elderly population.
It really does. I mean, I really didn't know, honestly, until we started becoming rentable about the reach. There is $658 billion, billion in the United States, just in the United States, of disposable income that people with disabilities have available for travel. And 93% of our 62 million Americans with disabilities do want to travel. You know, so they have the money, they want to travel. So there's this huge prospective niche audience that's not being tapped into. It's really a tremendous business opportunity. Let's not look at the humanitarian aspect.
Right.
Strictly business, right?
Yeah.
You know, of what it can be.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that, again, that we're trying to reach and explain to the short-term rental industry. It's like, okay, you know, how many more properties can we own to make money? It's not about that. It's like, how do you design your property today?
Right.
You know, so you have the accessibility at a desk that's wheel under and you've got a working space. We can work in different places. So again, it's thinking about that space very differently. Not that we need more spaces, but we need to maybe define these differently.
Absolutely. Differently. Yeah. And you certainly can't argue with those numbers. That's staggering. So for individuals with disabilities, so much is at stake. If you show up to your hotel or your rental property for a vacation or a business trip or whatever the case may be, what is your advice for people apart from, you know, maybe renting properties on your website? What is your advice for people when they are planning to travel to ensure the accommodations are what they need when they arrive?
You know, it is being due diligent, I have to say, of really doing your homework. Mm. And, you know, if it's a rental property, to really look at what are your needs. And sometimes it may be calling that property owner or that hotel, knowing here's a great one. I had a speaking opportunity in Chicago this summer. And so the group that put on this conference wanted me there. Beautiful hotel in Chicago. Well, they had platform beds. Again, I'm high maintenance. Remember, I'm high maintenance.
Right.
I'm in the middle of Hoyer lift. Well, Hoyer lifts can't go into the platform right then and there, you know. And then the shower didn't meet my needs. I always look at, can I get in the building? Can I go to bed? Can I go to the bathroom? You know, I can pretty much eat, you know, that anywhere. But I need a bathroom, a bed, and I need to access it. And if I can't, then that's not accessible. So I encourage people to really look at what are those needs? What are those must-haves? And if you don't see it online physically, like they have pictures of it, call that front desk, reach out to that property owner and just confirm, I see your photographs, but I can't tell what the size of the door is. I'm in a permobile electric wheelchair. Are your doors 32 or 36 inch doors? It seems like there is a step to get onto your deck. Could you tell me, you know, what that threshold is? Mm-hmm. Because if it's an inch, okay, I can do the ba-dum bump and get through. But if it's 3 inches, then my wheelchair, I don't care how fast I'm going, it's not going to make it up that step in my mind.
Right.
So it's really, it is doing your due diligence and looking at it.
It's very true. And in my experience, you make a great point about calling, for example, either the property, if it's a rental, the property owners, or actually talking to the front desk, if it's a hotel. Because in my experience, you know, I always, not always anymore, oftentimes I start with the front desk now before I talk to the reservation line, because the reservation line, typically to answer the specific questions that I have about what is or is not in the hotel room, they either have to transfer me to the front desk or put me on hold while they investigate. So that's a great point. So you and I both have mobility related conditions and have had our fair share of experience traveling. And I thought we could talk for a minute about some of the other considerations when traveling. Let's start with durable medical equipment rental. One of the things I really depend on is a patient lift or a Hoyer lift when I travel. And so what I've learned to do is, you know, sometimes if I'm within driving distance, I can actually fit my lift into my minivan and bring it with me. But if I have to fly somewhere, I'll look for a durable medical equipment company in the city that I'm going to that has good reviews and looks reliable. And I work with them ahead of time to rent the equipment that I need and have it delivered to where I'm staying. What have you had experience in that area?
We have in our own rental here. We get requests for a lift chair. A number of our renters who have ALS prefer a lift chair. They commonly sleep in the chair. Mm. It's comfortable. It's what they have at home.
Yeah.
And so that we have a vendor here that will bring one to the property. Oxygen is something else that we see a lot of rentals in.
Yeah.
And so I find that looking and identifying a durable medical vendor in that town and finding out what their options are. The greatest challenge has been finding companies that will rent you an electric wheelchair for the duration of your vacation. Mm-hmm. That seems to be the one area that I've seen having the most trouble in, that there's just not many companies that will rent that electric wheelchair.
I wonder why that is. Do you think it has something to do with sort of the customized fit that you need from an electric wheelchair, or what do you think the problem is?
I think it's supply and demand. I think that because of COVID and more people needing the electric wheelchairs, and I know this because I have a broken wheelchair.
Oh, no.
And I know, and you know, it's people don't understand, you know, when I went to call to get it fixed, they said, it'll be 3 weeks. And I said, well, what am I to do? You know, I'm in bed, you know, I need my wheelchair to get around. And it's like, well, you should always have a backup. Well, not everybody can always have a backup. So
right.
I called, and parts are still in the ocean, you know, in containers. And so right now it's a good 3 weeks to 2 months before parts are coming in. So right now what I'm seeing and hearing, it's just part of the effects of COVID. The closest place I could find a chair was in Alabama, and I'm in North Carolina.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
So, okay. And again, I'm like, okay, I want to start it. You can tell, obviously, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I have coming rental at my Lorraine's Canes. I do all of these things. And it's like, okay, well, we need to have a rental company.
Yeah.
For people who need electric wheelchairs. You cannot stay in bed for 3 weeks to 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, just the atrophy alone, mm-hmm. and the mental ability. I mean, I think that, again, you know, travel can be fun and exciting, and travel can be really hard, and it stinks sometimes.
Right.
That you get stuck waiting for somebody to come and put you in a wheelchair to get to your gate, you know, and you miss your flight because they had to deal with somebody else. I mean, there are things about it. It's just no fun. So
yeah.
How do you look at that and deal with that?
Yeah. Well, I love the problem solver that you are. It's absolutely amazing and inspiring. And it, you know, it makes me want to, you know, start some companies and solve some problems. It's amazing. So let's talk next about transportation. This can be a really big issue when traveling. But again, personally, I've found some solutions. Are there things that you've done to ensure accessible transportation when you travel?
Again, you know, fortunately, travel is easier than it was even 10 years ago.
Yes.
I will say ADA has really helped that. I know that there was a time that you only could rent a wheelchair accessible van if you were in a capital city. That was the only place. So let's say you flew into Wilmington, North Carolina, and Raleigh is the capital. They wouldn't have a van to rent in Wilmington, but the capital city did. Well, today we're seeing, you know, more and more venues not only have accessible rentals, but accessible taxis, and busing systems are much better than they ever were about having public transportation for travel. And so I do see that more people are traveling because there are areas of transportation that are available that there used to be. Now, again, I'm a lightweight and I get nervous, Nellies. I still have not traveled on an airplane because I'm too scared.
Okay.
I'm scared of my wheelchair breaking.
Yeah, I believe you.
Every time that I've traveled, they've dropped me, you know, and, you know, I end up on my vacation with bruises. Okay. And so I haven't done the air travel. I have a van, and how the van will travel. And yeah, I rolled my electric toilet seat in the van.
Oh.
I am in the van. And so like you could, my van will carry a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then that's how I travel. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, again, and globally, we're seeing a lot more accessible taxi services and public transportation. And that makes me really happy.
Yeah, I'm thrilled to hear that because honestly, again, because of COVID and then before that, I didn't travel a lot out of state. Honestly, I'm ashamed to say it, but because of the risks involved in air travel, I know that there are a lot of other people out there who risk it every single day, and my hat is off to them. But yeah, it's been a while since I've traveled out of state. So I'm really excited to hear that things like taxi cabs and that sort of thing are becoming more widely available. And I think the key here, again, unfortunately, it's about making the phone calls, right? It's about, you know, looking online, seeing what's available, you know, finding out if there are accessible shuttle services, maybe that your hotel, if you're staying at a hotel, operates, that can take you from the airport to the hotel. If there are accessible rentals that you can get your hands on where you're going to. And yeah, just doing the research.
Well, I have found also that there are a number of like Facebook groups that are travel focused.
Oh, nice.
And people will go on these different travel sites on Facebook and, you know, pose a question. What's the best taxi service in London? You know, where is the best hotel in Madrid for accessible travel? And so there's been a lot more dialogue. If you find a great accessible short-term rental experience, I'm seeing it posted on these sites. Also, LinkedIn also has a great number of accessible travel resources.
Oh,
and I'm joining more and more of these groups. Just because I'm learning a lot about what is out there, what are the challenges, and I'm in just awe over people who are taking these unbelievable travel,
yes,
and flying and doing it. And it's like I want to have that attitude that yes, I can, but I'm not there yet.
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great to know. I'm glad you brought that up. And so what can we all as a community be doing to try to increase the accessibility and the number of options available to us in the world of travel?
Well, I think sharing your stories.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a firm believer that and unless we share, we're not going to know. You know, I always tell people that, you know, we know that 1 + 1 = 2 because that's what we're taught. So if we don't share what our needs are, and experiences, then how can we see that change?
Yeah.
How can the short-term rental industry change if we're not getting requests, if we're not sharing those experiences and information? And I really do believe that it's together by getting information out, by, you know, sharing it with your relatives, posting it in, you know, different newsletters and blogs and reaching out to MDA, you know, coming to Becoming Rentable, website and identifying what your needs are and your successes and challenges. That's how we're going to see change.
That's fantastic. And I could not agree with you more. I'm a big advocate of sharing our stories. And I think, you know, it's interesting to me every time I do, the people who write back and they say, I had no idea. And it's true. If you don't have something in your life affecting you, you don't have any idea. And so I think that's huge. So what's on the horizon for Becoming Rentable? Did I hear something about TV?
Yes. Well, yes, we are. We are. So it all our my idea of providing education and awareness, it started out in the very beginning that let's create a TV show. And that was really the impetus of where we are today. We went down surveys and validations, and we're doing all of these other activities based on wanting to do a TV show. So now we're at the point of, okay, we have our website, we have 700 postings, we are billing our monetization of our business, and now it's time to start thinking about our TV show. So we have our sizzle reel, we have our storyline, and now we're getting all of the support mechanisms in place to be able to pitch it to the Netflix and the Hulus and Discovery. I envision that we'll start pitching this in the fourth quarter of this year. And hopefully in 12 to 18 months, you'll see Becoming Rentable, you know, coming on TV and our streaming services.
That's amazing. And, you know, that's what it's going to take, I think, to educate the world on, you know, this form, if you will, of inclusion and what the world at large needs in terms of accessibility and access to travel. That's so exciting.
We're just finishing up a property in Conway, Arkansas, where I grew up, which I haven't been in years because there's been nothing that is accessible that I could stay in. So we have built a little house called the Little Yellow House. It's a bungalow house. And it will be fully accessible for wheelchairs, walkers, autism, IDD, vision, and hearing. That's why it's our model house, where we will use this as a tool of education. I did this past spring a lecture at the University of Central Arkansas to their master level students in occupational therapy. They then went over to the Little Yellow House, could see all these features that I talked about. They can take that experience as they start their careers. We hope to do webinars there. And also the opening and closing of our TV show will be from the Little Yellow House.
Oh, so exciting. I've got this picture in my mind of a little yellow house. I can't wait to see it.
Yes. So hopefully I can send you wonderful photographs this month.
I would love that. I can't wait.
As we
wrap up, do you have any other final words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our audience?
Wow, wisdom. Wow, that I don't know. But I encourage people, you know, come to our website, look at the different properties, share what their needs are. It's like, wow, I want to go to Purdue University and I want to go check out the college and I'm looking for an accessible property. Can you help me? And that's one of the things that we're doing. If we do not have a property that's in a geographic location, I've been doing social media posts. In fact, this was a really cool story. So somebody reached out to me and said, I want to go to Fort Lauderdale on a vacation and I can't find anything. I did a social media reach out. We found a property in 5 minutes. They booked it. And so somebody had a booking of $3,500 for their beach rental. So they benefited, and this family is going to Fort Lauderdale this summer. And so that's one of the things that I'm trying to do from a business for this industry is to say, look, here is somebody that wants to spend money in this town. You know, if you have a property that has these features, let me know. And so I encourage people, if you have that, come to becomingrentable.com and let us know.
Wow. That's a great story. How fantastic. And Fort Lauderdale, who doesn't want to go there?
I know, exactly.
Wonderful. Well, Lorraine, I can't thank you enough. You're doing amazing things and making huge impacts in the world for us. And I thank you for all you're doing and for spending a little bit of your time with me today.
Oh, it was really, really my pleasure. I feel like there's a sisterhood here, you know? And
Definitely.
I'm just really happy, and thank you very, very much. And my MDA family, you know, continues to be there.
I love it. Thanks so much, Lorraine.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Thank you for listening. For more information about the guests you heard from today, go check them out at mda.org/podcast. And to learn more about the Muscular Dystrophy Association, the services we provide, how you can get involved, and to subscribe to Quest Magazine or to Quest Newsletter, please go to mda.org/quest. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you'd leave a review. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so we can keep bringing you great content and maybe share it with a friend or two. Thanks, everyone. Until next time, go be the light we all need in this world.